Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We finally got our connection established, Jim. It's amazing how much can be solved by turning off a computer and turning it back on again.
Yeah, you know, maybe they should try that for the Obamacare site. Sibelius is probably saying, wait a minute, I got a great idea.
Hit the reset button. Works so well with Russia. Anyway, on to the first martini today, the good martini. It's actually a double-headed good martini. We'll start with the fact that Democrats are jumping off a sinking ship. We talked yesterday how Bill Clinton embracing the idea of changing the law so that people who like their current plan can keep it. Didn't take long for Democrats to keep moving in that direction. And we're not just talking about red state Democrats. We're talking about Dianne Feinstein. Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House, says he can get behind legislation that will allow people to keep their current plans. I'm sure it's no coincidence that it's also coming at the time the president's approval number is south of 40%. But this is amazing.
And what it says is that there are a bunch of Democrats who realize that this is a total broadside strike to the good ship Democrat, you could say. The president has been exposed as a liar. It already affects millions upon millions of people. And what's more is that at some point when the employer mandate kicks in, it's going to affect millions more people. Some of these Democrats recognize the damage that there is. What you're going to see is a big split amongst Democrats between those who are desperate and feel a need to do something because they face re-election in 2014, and the ones who are absolute total faith in the administration and who know that once you start tinkering with Obamacare, it falls apart. We'll talk a little bit more about this in the second martini. All of them have a perfectly good reason to panic right now. It is time to panic, Democrats, and Americans as a whole, of course.
There's even more problems due to the corruption of the process. These Obamacare navigators, people who can help you in person sign up and enroll in various plans, turns out they're encouraging insurance fraud. This is courtesy of James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. A couple of quick clips here. The first was when the Project Veritas investigator simply mentioned, well, I've got a salary that I pay taxes on, but I also have some cash earnings on the side that I don't. So should I include that as well? And when I report how much income I have to the exchange?
Don't get yourself in trouble by declaring it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And then another one is that premiums get kicked up 50% in a lot of cases if you admit that you're a smoker. So
you lie because your premiums will be higher.
Okay, okay.
Wait, okay. Don't tell him that. Don't tell him
about that.
Yeah. One navigator even told us that she lies all the time.
But don't tell him.
I always allow my...
Okay.
The people designed to navigate you through the bureaucratic disaster aren't even trying to do it right. They're trying to defraud the government, which means the taxpayer.
Those of us who are familiar with James O'Keefe's work aren't that surprised by what he was able to find. At this point, if you're a large liberal organization, be it Acorn, be it NPR, be it these Obamacare navigators, you should just assume that everyone you talk to is James O'Keefe in disguise. He's not always wearing the pimp hat and the fur coat and things like that. Actually, I understand he himself does not do the videos anymore because he's too recognizable. He gets other people out to do that. But he really is exposing what we've always kind of suspected, which is that, look, where do they find these navigators? I'm sure there are probably some among them that are good, hardworking professionals and honest. But basically, they just hired people off the street, gave them, you know, I understand, like 16 hours of training of here's the options under it. They're there to use the exact same website the rest of us are supposed to. And it's not surprising that most of the people who are going to get employed in this are going to have a certain interest in making sure things run smoothly. And smoothly doesn't always mean honestly. And as a result of that, if that means, you know, shading the truth here and saying, well, you're not really a smoker, or well, let's not declare this income, they're going to encourage that. And of course, this is not what you're supposed to do. This is encouraging fraud. The Obamacare navigators are not attracting the best and the brightest. I don't think any of us are really stunned by that. But the fact that O'Keefe manages to go out and find people who do this time and again, and by the way, and my guess is he'll probably be doing something like the Acorn tape situation in which the Obamacare folks will say, oh, it's just this one person in this one office, and then he'll reveal another one. And, you know, until you get, you know, five or six, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait a minute, it's not an isolated case. It's not one bad apple. It is a routine culture within the organization that is perfectly fine with committing fraud. And that's, you know, it says something probably about the character of the people who work there. So my guess is expect to see a lot more from James O'Keefe. And if you're trusting all of your personal information and social security numbers and financial information and health information to an Obamacare navigator. Don't.
Jim, you mentioned before with all the Democrats jumping ship that there could be a debate within the GOP over strategy on how to handle the tables very suddenly turning. But exactly how to do this is now the question. Now, Fred Upton in the House is putting forth basically the if you like it, you can keep it act. Ron Johnson's doing the same thing in the Senate. But some folks in the Tea Party side believe that doing this is actually helping the Democrats cover for their mistake, and it is slowing down the implosion of Obamacare. Eric Erickson over at Red State says that Congressman Upton's legislation is going to get passed with plenty of Democratic support in the House. It's going to get sent over to the Senate. Mary Landrieu's bill is going to be replacing the Upton bill in the Senate version. It's going to get kicked back to the House, which will look really bad if it doesn't pass it. Then it looks like Mary Landrieu gets credit. It helps her get reelected. And if Republicans don't go along with it, it looks like they're siding with the insurance companies over the American people. It's almost a reversal of the strategies during the shutdown with when the Tea Party's, you know, saying we got to do something here. Now it's more the leadership and the establishment type as opposed to let the thing burn. So what do you expect here?
It's a really tough decision before Republicans. Anybody who's 100% in support of one of the two approaches strikes me as perhaps not thinking it through, because Republicans can say accurately that no Republican voted for this, that they have voted to repeal this, you know, dozens of times. They have opposed this from the beginning. They warned that it was going to be a disaster and couldn't work. And here we are. Now, the question is, if you're a Republican, what are you going to do for the person who just had their plan canceled? What options can you provide them? My suspicion is the Upton plan and the various variations of it, all of them are equally destructive to Obamacare. At least that's what the approach of the Obama administration is. They don't want any of these plans passed. And the insurance companies certainly don't want any of these plans passed because basically, one, they have to undo all the changes they've just spent months preparing for. Secondly, they may or may not offer the same plans. That those plans are canceled. They're gone. They're not coming back. The question then is, do they reinstitute them? They basically recreate them and offer them again. At some point, you may see the insurance companies totally split from the administration and say, look, you know, we try to work with this thing, but you guys are just determined to screw us over at every possible step of the way. The question is, you know, at this point, Republicans are entitled to say, look, we had nothing to do with this. It's your problem, Democrats. You fix it. The flip side is, if you're a Republican and you want to be trusted with control of the Senate, and you want to be entrusted with the presidency starting in January 2017, you have to look like the constructive problem solver. And I think, you know, with each passing day, each passing week, we get a clearer sense of just what a catastrophe Obamacare is going to be for so many millions of Americans. So I think we need to do something. The problem is we're not going to be able to enact many of the reforms that we want to do because of opposition from President Obama and opposition from, you know, Senate Democrats. They'll replace it with the Landrieu plan is one possibility. I think Republicans should say, look, the Upton plan is our plan. Pass it. Watch it go over to the Senate and watch the Senate refuse to pass it. The same Democrats who voted for Obamacare assured you you could keep your plan and then promptly watched as your plan got canceled are now voting against the You Can Keep Your Plan Act of 2013. The attack ads basically write themselves. So my guess is that neither the Landrieu plan nor the Upton plan will ever become law. I think Obamacare is not going to get fixed because I don't think there's the kind of solution that could get both John Boehner and House Republicans on board and the administration on board. If through some miracle it managed to get through both houses, at this point, President Obama would have to veto the Landrieu plan. He and his administration will say, if we do this, Obamacare falls apart a lot faster by letting people keep their plans, because basically everybody goes back to the old plans and the new plans just have the old sick people who with pre-existing conditions who couldn't get coverage earlier. And those plans will go bankrupt, that there just won't be a way to pay for a system in which everybody's taking out and nobody's paying in particularly high premiums. So my guess is that nothing's actually going to change. And if you think nothing's going to change, that kind of frees you up to vote for a lot of stuff in order to appear helpful, constructive, and bipartisan and all those good, noble things the media always loves. But then, in fact, will not actually change anything. And my suspicion is that no actual reforms get enacted in the next couple of weeks because the administration can't let any of these changes go through, or else it will accelerate the death spiral.
On to martini number three now. And of course, what we've heard and we've stated here over and over and over again, the only way the administration can get this to work without the nation plunging so far into the oblivion and debt is for young, healthy people to sign up in huge numbers. So they've got these various ad campaigns out there. As far as I can tell, this is from a website with the grammatically correct title, doyougotinsurance.com. You remember the keg stand ad from a few weeks ago? That one's from this same crew. There's a picture of this girl showing you her new birth control pills with this look on her face like, oh, yeah, I'm good to go now. And then there's this guy next to her with a smug look on his face. Here is the caption. Got insurance? Let's get physical. OMG, he's hot. Let's hope he's as easy to get as this birth control. My health insurance covers the pill. All I have to worry about is getting him between the covers. I got insurance. Now you can too. Thanks, Obamacare. And underneath the picture, it says Susie and Nate, hot to trot. After all the backlash, the originator of the ad says, well, clearly some people just don't like the idea of an independent woman.
The man in that ad is not merely easier to get than the birth control pills. He is easier to get than a cold amongst preschoolers in the middle of winter. As I think Ala Pundit said, how much time do you have to spend in prison before you have that eager look she has on her face for that guy? By everyone my age, which is, you know, 30s and up, these ads look ridiculous and silly and kind of insulting to their target audience, juvenile and all that stuff. The interesting thing will be how young people actually respond to them, because, you know, the response from a lot of folks is, you just don't get it. You're too old. You're old, Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity. You don't understand how the kids do it today. They love to have sex with cardboard cutouts of Ryan Gosling. And indeed, perhaps that is the case, and the future of America is looking very dark indeed. We'll see. My guess is most people are ignoring them. This entire kind of culture within the advertising world of ads that are made for by the ad makers to please themselves and to attract the attention of other ad makers, and to attract the profession, but not necessarily the audience at large. And we've all kind of seen those things. If you've ever seen a TV commercial and you don't know what the commercial is for, that's one of those ads. Generally, the people in the ads are very, like, they're not photographed flatteringly. They don't look like the people next door that you'd like. The guys doing the keg stand, you'd kind of like to see something terrible befall them. The old saying, you know, leave no child behind. Well, here are some young folks we can leave behind. Really, you know, a lot of people have wondered if these were parody ads. And they know they're genuine ads. As we understand it, no taxpayer funding was used directly for these ads. It's put together by this nonprofit coalition. I haven't checked to see if some of these nonprofits in this coalition did get state funding in one way or another. Federal taxpayers did provide $21 million to the state of Colorado for the promotion of their exchanges so far. I really want to see the breakdown of how many folks in Colorado have signed up and their ages to see if these ads aren't working, because as much as you and I might enjoy making fun of them, you know, the proof will be in the pudding of whether they effectively get young people to sign up. And my guess is no, but I guess we'll know that in a couple of weeks soon, won't we, Greg?
Nothing kills the mood than sky-high premiums and massive deductibles and really bad coverage. So I'm guessing once reality sinks in, these won't accomplish much. But the fact that they even went there at all just kind of shows you the mindset of some. And on that sleazy note, we'll end the free martini lunch there today. Jim, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Can't wait for tomorrow, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Thursday for the next free martini lunch.